As we celebrate our, well, lucky 13th anniversary on the air, the celebrity phone is once again lighting up. You know, it's always my favorite segment. They never, never tell me who's on the other end. So let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Happy anniversary, Jer.
Hey, hi. Who is this?
You tell me, my friend. Here, you want me to give you a hint?
Okay, yeah, that'll help.
Okay. Canadian Idol. We'll be right back.
It's Ryan Seacrest, oh, no, sorry. It's Ben Mulrooney, isn't it?
Yeah, taller than Seacrest, unless he's standing on his bags of money, in which case, he wins.
Towering over you. Towering over all of us.
I'm doing great. How are things going over there?
You know what? It's crazy to think back 13 years. I know that you were on our 10th anniversary show, and even just then, how things have changed. And so let's talk about these kinds of events. Canadian Idol, that was my first red carpet. That was my first sort of entertainment event to go to.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've been meaning. I forgot to ask a long time ago, so I'm going to ask now.
Okay.
Were you drunk in the front row on that first day?
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, so this is a story. Oh, wow. Okay, Ben. Oh, it's on now. It is on.
Okay, yeah, right. Let's real talk time.
Yeah, you know what the story was? And, you know, you could probably actually appreciate this. Here I was back in the day starting out. I was in my parents' basement, you know, trying to just get noticed. And CTV, we love CTV, you know, was so gracious to invite me to cover Canadian Idol. And I thought, you know what, I'm nervous. I'm excited. I'm going to Toronto, which I had been before. And it was my first sort of real entertainment event. And so the novelty, you know, like when you go to an all-inclusive resort, you sort of overdo it on the food and booze that first day. And that's what it was. I was like, oh my God, I can have any drink that I want. And the novelty, it just got the best of me. And so sure enough, sitting in the front row of the press conference, you guys were all coming up on the stage. And I was so paranoid that, like, I know that I'm drunk. I can't make a fool of myself. I can't draw attention. And I think I was the only one in the front row because it's like a classroom, right? Nobody goes to the front row. You fill in the back first. And there I was and thinking like, oh, and I was too scared to even ask a question. I did not even say one word. So
you did at all, huh?
Not at all. No.
I remember you were looking a little green around the gills.
Oh.
It was a heck of an adventure. I mean, when I look back at it, I look back at sort of the way the TV landscape is today with all these big event programs on both sides of the border, but especially in Canada, you know, you've got your Big Brothers and your Master Chefs and all those things. And Canadian Idol really was the first of its kind. It was the first time in my memory that a Canadian broadcaster was going to take a chance on a big event program like that had been successful around the world. We were going to finally do it, and it was such a success right off the bat that it really it helped my career in ways like I can never I just can't explain.
You know, speaking of Canadian Idol, it just reminded me that Sass Jordan, we just had Sass on for my dog's. She called and surprised me on my dog's birthday and offered to send some of her wine. Have you got any of her wine?
I have. I interviewed her for her wine. I hadn't seen her in a few years. She was, she's the same old Sass, looking just fabulous. And we were looking back at her career in music and how the music industry has changed and how she really pioneered a lot of things for women in the music industry, especially in Canada. It was so great to catch up with her and reminisce. We don't get that much time to do that these days.
Boy, you really earned that free wine. That was a nice plug for her, hey? Jeez. Let me ask you if you remember your first red carpet or media event.
Do I remember my first red carpet or media event? I mean, I remember my first Oscar red carpet because it was just such a big deal. And I was down there with Lisa LaFlamme.
Mm-hmm.
The goal was for me to ultimately take over the red carpet, but for that first year, I was on the red carpet before the carpet started with her, and then I went to the truck and watched her do the red carpet. Now, that's not her forte, but she's such an incredible journalist that she made it look effortless. And then the next year was going to be my first year on the carpet, but that was the year that the red carpet was canceled due to the American invasion of Iraq, and it was a security risk. So I didn't actually get to be on the carpet until the very next year, and by then I had been down there enough that I wasn't as nervous as I would have been had I had to do it the year before or the year before that.
Everyone who's worked a red carpet, I think, has their most embarrassing moment that they'll never forget. What's yours?
Well, you know, to be completely candid, I don't have a moment where I put my foot in my mouth and did anything terribly embarrassing. But I have I've had some uncomfortable moments, and a couple of them come to mind. They were both on the Oscar red carpet, and the first was with director Julian Schnabel, who was he was nominated for his movie The Bell and the Butterfly, which was a fabulous movie, really, really fantastic. And this guy is equal parts artist and sort of big-time movie director. And he showed up in pajamas with his new lady on his arm. And the movie is about a guy who went diving in the ocean. And I think he had an air bubble that got into his brain. He ended up having locked-in syndrome, I think it's called, where you can experience, or you can see and you live your life, but you can't move. You're completely paralyzed. And so he got in front of me, and I said, you know, Mr. Schnabel, beautiful movie, congratulations. This really is a story of the triumph of the human spirit. Because the guy ends up writing his own memoirs without the ability to even move. So I really thought that would be a nice way to introduce the movie. And he looked at me and said, well, that's the most trite way of explaining my work. And I paused for a second. I realized this isn't going to get any better. So I just said, thank you very much, and sent him on his way. And you know, you've got those little moments like that. But if you go in prepared, and if you go in respectful, and if you go in not trying to be the smartest guy on the carpet, and not trying to be smarter than the person you're interviewing, then you should be fine.
You know, we had, Kathleen Hoda from the Today Show. Now Kathleen is obviously moving on, but you know, they've had some embarrassing live moments. We talked about when they were on the show, and I mentioned mine was from The Voice, red carpet in Los Angeles, and the winner was there, and I'm talking to him and this woman who's with him, and I'm assuming that, you know, this is the woman that we've seen throughout the entire series, which was his mom. And so I'm going and I'm saying, you know, what's going through your head as you're standing there, and they're drawing it out, right? We're seeing you, and then the audience, and then the judges, right? We're waiting to hear who's the winner. And I said, and then we see your mom. And I motioned to the woman, and she's like, I'm his wife.
Oh, God. You see, you can't... I am paranoid about making an embarrassing assumption like that. And so I play dumb, even if I think I know. Even if I think in my heart I'm 99.9% right about something, I'll ask the question to whoever I'm with, either before... when we're not live, before we go live, or in the middle of the interview, I'll find a way to back into that question, because I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the only cover would be, your loved ones, because I didn't actually point to her, I just sort of, you know, put my hand out and kind of motioned, you know, in that direction, and I don't know, it's again, in that moment, you're like, yeah, I covered that, we're good, but I don't know, I still don't know.
I remember the first Juno red carpet we did under the ETOC banner, and it was in Ottawa at what was the Carell Center at the time, and it was worth 15 years ago now, and we were literally in the middle of a cow field. We had about 200 audience members that were bussed in, but it had snowed the night before, and so when you have 200 people standing in a field, it looks like a dozen people have shown up to your party. It looks like no one's there. And Shania Twain was hosting the show, and we had rehearsed the opening of the show where I was going to go, ladies and gentlemen, Canada's queen of country, give it up for the host of the show, Shania Twain. And that was how it was going to, she was going to come out of her limousine, and that was how our show was going to start. And the show goes live, and I say exactly what I'm supposed to say. I said, ladies and gentlemen, Shania Twain. And the camera catches her ankle as she comes out of the limo, and then right there, someone pressed the wrong button, and we went right into animation and missed it completely. And as I tell this story, I realize I do have an embarrassing moment.
There we go.
That I still haven't lived down.
Okay.
Russell Peters was hosting the Junos one year, and my producer looked at me the night before, and she said, whatever you do, don't call him Russell Simmons. And I said, why would you say that? I was not going to call him Russell Simmons. I was going to call him Russell Peters, and they put that in my head. It's like saying, don't think, whatever you do, don't think of a pink elephant. Of course you're going to think of a pink elephant. So he gets out of his car, and I give him the biggest intro I've ever given anybody, like a deaf comedy jam. Give it up for Russell Simmons! Now, when you say back to one of the quickest people working in show business, like Russell Peters, he will not let you live it down. And mercifully, the God shined on me, and they gave me a second chance because he hosted again the next year. And I doubled down on the joke and called him Richard Simmons. and he appreciated it. But he still, to this day, gives me crap for that.
And, you know, still to this day, behind me on the wall in the studio, we've got our Wall of Fame. I see Ben Mulrooney on the stage at Canadian Idol. I see Mia and Russell Peters at the Junos in Vancouver is where that was. And then the Corner Gas cast. So lots of memories from red carpets. And, you know, red carpets have really changed over the years, right? When I started, there wasn't selfies. There wasn't even bloggers. There wasn't that on the red carpet. It's really changed.
Oh, 100% it's changed. And I remember, like, when we were doing them, when we started that Juno red carpet, we would ask everybody who was walking, who are you wearing? And
right.
we were met with looks of cluelessness and in some cases, offense. How dare you ask me who I'm wearing? But we did it because eventually we knew that smart publicists would see that this was an opportunity to help them promote other clients of theirs, fashion clients of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you walk on those red carpets, you know, especially in music, you get all types. But more and more people step up their fashion game because it's an opportunity to showcase Canadian talent to Canadian audiences. It's a much more sophisticated event than it used to be. I mean, I'd venture to say that the red carpets that we used to do in Canada and Canadian media, they were barely red carpets. Years and years and years ago, when I first started in TV, my first job was on a channel called The Chat Room, which was the precursor to Canadian MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And we would send one of our correspondents down to the Metro Toronto Convention Center on the night of the Gemini Awards, which happened at the same time as the police ball. And we would play a game called Canadian Celebrity or Cop because you couldn't tell the difference. and now it's a real big deal. I mean, the Canadian Screen Awards just happened, and what a big deal that was.
And we've got to wrap this up. I could talk to you all day, but one of the things that's really fascinating about a red carpet, I'm told it all the time, is that I speak too quickly. You go a little fast too, but here's the thing. People don't realize, it's not that you're talking so fast because you're excited. You just have so little time with the celebrity that you want to get everything in. That's my take of it anyway.
100%. When we're on the Oscar red carpet, I know that at most, if I'm lucky, I'm gonna have an opportunity to ask three questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about asking all the questions I want. It's trying to get something out of them that is going to live beyond that red carpet. So, yes, I want to ask about the movie. Yes, I want to get a sense of how they feel moments before they go into the Dolby Theater. But more than that, I want to have a soundbite and a moment on camera that we'll be able to go back to for years to come. And if I can get that, it doesn't matter if I have 30 seconds with them. If once I get that, we can move on to the next person. It's the Canadian way of doing things. We're never going to be given as much time as the biggest broadcasters in the States. So it really is about quality, not quantity.
Well, we know that the biggest is not Seacrest. It's size-wise, anyway.
Yeah, size-wise. Yeah. And listen, and even in terms of, he doesn't have an ego, this guy. He's such a professional. He's such a nice guy. He's a real gentleman on the carpet to everyone he encounters. I've learned a lot from him over the years. The one thing I haven't learned, though, is how to accumulate wealth and programs the way he has. If I could nail that down, I'd be a happy guy.
You need to buy a Kardashian. I think that's how it works.
You know what? He does not own the shame that he has bestowed on us the way he should for that. Nice guy, but that is an evil that he has deposited on the world, and one day he will be judged for it.
Oh, absolutely. Finally, did you get to pick the baby name for the Royals?
Did I get to pick the baby name? Absolutely not.
Okay, all right.
No, listen, when that little baby comes, I'm going to be as surprised and as happy as anybody. I can't wait to meet him or her, and I'm just so happy for the couple.
Well, we know that eTalk is going to have all the Royal baby news covered, right?
eTalk is going to do what eTalk always does, which is deliver all the biggest entertainment news in a way that only eTalk does. I like to say that eTalk talks to its audience. We talk to our audience the way we think our audience talks to themselves and to each other. And I think we deliver it in a really fun and irreverent, but also respectful way. And I've been doing it now for 16 years, I think, and I would do it for another 16 if they let me.
Well, here's hoping. Well, Ben Mulrooney, thanks for surprising and celebrating our lucky 13 today.
Jeremy, congratulations on 13 years. I look forward to 13 more, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much. And like I said, you're staring at the back of my head every day when I'm doing this show, so...
Staring, judging. Yeah, that's me.
Looking down at me, because the picture is pretty high up on the wall. Thanks, Ben.
Take care.